1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. This is God's word to us this evening. Please have your Bibles open again at 1 John chapter 4. And let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that every word of your Bible has been breathed out by the Holy Spirit. And we pray that by that same Spirit you would speak to each and every one of us, that you would form us to be like Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. How do you know that as I stand and speak to you here this evening, that I am not a fraud? How do you know that as I stand here this evening, I'm not deceiving you? I'm not conning you in some way? How do you know that as Johnny or Luke or I speak to you, that it is the truth and not lies? How do you know? How do you know? I ask that because John says to us in his book this evening that lots of people will come claiming to speak for God. They will say that, yeah, I'm speaking on behalf of God. But John says to us tonight, beware, beware. You see, not everyone who claims to speak for God is from God. Not everyone who claims to speak for God is from God. John says to us that there are false prophets, false teachers out in our world, and they claim to have a message for us from God, but they are not from God at all. They're from the devil. The Lord Jesus spoke of false prophets as being difficult to spot. They wear sheep's clothing. They look like Christians. They can sound like Christians. They very much look like us. But inwardly, they are ferocious wolves who love to devour sheep. Their message ruins a real relationship with the Lord Jesus and takes us onto a road that would lead to our destruction. So how do we tell the difference? How do we spot those who tell the truth and those who are liars? Well, John says to us, do not believe everything you hear. We are to wisely examine and test those who would speak to us. What we refuse to believe as Christians is as important as what we do believe. I brought with me tonight my spirit level. It has a wee magic device in it that lets you know when something is straight When I'm putting pictures up on the wall at home, if I don't want to hear Tricia saying, "That's no straight," I'll get out my spirit level and I put the picture up next to it, and the wee magic device tells me whether or not it is straight. This is something I can hold up against the picture and show, yeah, here's a straight line. I know this is straight and true. And John gives us three tests. A spirit level. That when we hear teaching, when we hear those speak who claim to have a message from God, we're supposed to hold it up and see if it is straight, if it is a true message, or whether it is false, and we are to have nothing to do with it. What is test number one? Well, test number one of our spirit level is when you hear teaching, put what they say up against the work of God who came in flesh to save us. Put what they say up against the work of God who came in flesh to save us. Look at verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The spirits that John refers to here are different forms of teaching that are out in our world. He says in verse 6 that there is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of falsehood. There are teachers that speak God's true message and teachers who speak a false message. John says in verse 2, there's a really crucial way in which we can spot them. Look at it with me. Verse 2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. This is how you can recognize the truth. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. The spirit level that shows whether someone or not is teaching the truth is the public declaration that Jesus is God our Savior, come in flesh to save sinners. That Jesus is God our Savior, the eternal Son of God, who came to this earth to die on a cross to rescue us. True teaching confesses that Jesus is both divine and human at the same time. That word acknowledge that we read there, you know, if someone acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, it's not a shouting across the road, cooey, and you wave back and say, cooey back, and say, hi, I'm here. That word acknowledge is a public declaration. It's a result of deep conviction. It comes from faith. And what we must do is listen out to what is being publicly taught and publicly declared. And listen out. Is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, come in flesh, the one who came down from heaven to rescue us, the one who was sent by his Father as a real man to be a Savior? Jesus has to be a real human being because he is the one who dies in our place. He is, as it were, he stands in our shoes. He dies the death that I deserved. He's got to be a human being. He takes the punishment for a real human me who has sinned. He lived the life that I could not live. He is God come in flesh. But he's also really God at the same time. As God, he's the only one who could break sin's power. The only one who could be the perfect substitute. And 3 days later, he rose again to show that sin and death really had been defeated. If we imagine any teaching that we hear, like a bicycle wheel. Think in your mind, a bicycle wheel. At the hub, with spokes coming out from that hub? Well, the hub of our wheel is Jesus Christ, God the Savior, come in flesh to save sinners. That's a straight line. That's the spirit level. God, our Savior, has come to this world to die on a cross to rescue us. To deny that, to make something else the hub, to make something else central, the work of the Holy Spirit, helping people, anything. Well, John says, is the spirit of the Antichrist. If Jesus Christ come in the flesh, if that's not right at the heart of what we hear, then John says it's an opposition to Jesus. It's an opposition to his people. It's an opposition to all that he's done. Did you notice what the test is not? It's not whether the speaker is a nice guy. It's not whether the speaker has been well trained or if he's got a shiny suit and nice teeth. It's not whether he drives a flash car. It's not whether they're your friend. It's not whether they make you feel warm and fuzzy inside when they speak. It's not even if a lot of people agree with them or if they do miracles. The test of whether teaching is from God the Holy Spirit, true teaching, do they publicly declare that God the Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, has come in flesh to rescue us from our sins? This is a reminder for those of us who do teach publicly about what should be central, what should be at the heart of all that we speak about. But John isn't just writing to preachers. He's writing to a local church, real Christians like you and I. And he's saying, as you listen, is Jesus acknowledged? Is what you hear that you have to accept by faith, the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins, is he at the heart of all that is talked about? If not, don't listen. Don't have anything to do with it. It is dangerous. What's the second test that John gives to measure against? Well, when someone is teaching, put what they say up against what the world says. Put what they say up against what the world says. Verse 5 describes what false teachers are like. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. What is the world? Well, the world can be defined as humanity at war with God. Humanity at war with God. It is the people of the world who live in opposition to him. It's those who live in rebellion against him. Back in chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, John described the main features of a world that is in rebellion against God. He says that it's the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does. The attitude that says, I'm going to do what I want. If I see things that I like, I'm going to have them. And I tell you what, let me tell you how great I am at the same time. It's the attitude that says, me, me, me. It's all focused on me. It's all focused on the here and now. And John is telling us that if the teaching you hear is attractive to the world, if it's me-centered, now focused, then there's a great chance, it's a good indication that that teaching is false. You see, the world is attracted to any teaching that emphasizes what is in it for me. Unfortunately and sadly, it's why you can have massive churches that teach you God wants you to be healthy, God wants you to be rich, God wants you to have these amazing spiritual experiences. And thousands of people flock to churches who say that. The world in its rebellion against God will always be attracted to teaching that waters down the message of God the Savior coming to the world as a real human being to rescue sinners. It will always be attracted to teaching that waters down the message of sin and judgment and hell. But it will always find time for teaching that says, you don't need to submit all of your life to the Lord Jesus. You don't need to do that. It might speak instead of Jesus being a great example for us. Or sin being described as, well, a wee area of your life that might need a spruce up. Great slogans are thought up about trying to make the world a better place with no mention of eternity. This teaching is attractive to the world because it's from the world's viewpoint. And if we examine those who teach like that and who listen and follow that kind of teaching, we will learn that their lives are not focused on Jesus Christ come in flesh at all. You know, I recently read of a pastor who asked his congregation for £50 million so that he could buy a new private jet. His old one wasn't good enough, apparently. He lives in multi-million pound houses. He's got a few of them. He's got a fleet of expensive cars. He teaches that wealth is stored up for the righteous, for Christians. A misunderstanding of a proverb. But the way to claim that wealth, of course, is through a donation to him and his ministry. Now, before you think, who would believe that? This weekend, 30,000 people will have gone and visited that church. Just this weekend. Now, you might be thinking, this is quite judgmental, Dougie. But I think this is what John is commanding us to do. He's saying, test, examine what is being taught. This is for our good and for the good of our local church. This is what we've got to hold up against it. And if that teaching is shown to be false, don't have anything to do with it. For me this week, it's caused me to think, who do I listen to? What influences me? What influences what I believe? Is it true? Or is it the teaching of the world? What's the third test that John gives us? When you hear any teaching, put what they say up against the apostles' teaching. Put what they say up against the apostles' teaching. Look with me at verse 6. John says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, at first reading, you might think that this statement might be the height of arrogance. John's saying, if you really know God, then you'll agree with everything that I say. But John's an apostle. He is one of those who had been in the unique position of having seen and heard and touched God the Savior come in human flesh. He was one of those who had been commissioned by the risen Lord Jesus to teach all that he had seen and heard about the risen Lord Jesus. Think about all these weeks that we've been spending in 1 John together. What would we expect to be taught that is in line with John's teaching and the apostles' teaching? Of course, Jesus Christ come in the flesh to save sinners. Of course, the message of the cross and resurrection, and that it has to be accepted by faith. But what are some of the other spokes that have come out from that wheel, that hub? Well, John told us back in chapter 1, we'll have a right understanding about the seriousness of sin. We won't deny it. We won't downplay it. We will admit it, even as Christians. and turn and ask for forgiveness daily from the Lord Jesus. John's told us that we should expect to hear that loving Jesus will lead us to obey all his commands, even the difficult ones, even when it's hard to obey. John would tell us that if we love Jesus and we are hearing the truth being taught, then that teaching will say to us that we will actively love other Christians. We will be involved in the life of the local church where we can serve. And all these things are true, of course, as the Holy Spirit helps us to do it. If the teaching we're hearing is true, there will be a mirroring, a reflection of what John and the apostles said and what we hear. But if there is not this reflection, this unity with the apostles, don't believe it. It will do damage to your spiritual life. That teaching is not from God if it's not listening to the apostles. Every preacher of God's word who wants to be faithful will say often to his congregation, "Don't believe it because I say it. Believe it because it's in God's word." That is why it's so important as we listen, we have our Bibles open. We have to put what is said up against the apostles' teaching. These are the three clear tests, if you like, the spirit level, the straight line that helps us to measure what is true and what is false. But I wonder if for many of us, myself included, I think of false teaching, I certainly like to think of false teaching, like the £1 million sticker on a McDonald's cup. Do you know what I mean? Not everyone has a working knowledge of McDonald's, I'll give you that. Let me explain. So every now and again, McDonald's run a competition where they put wee stickers on the side of a cup and you peel these off and you see where you've won a prize. Now, somewhere out there is the £1 million prize. Now, like false teaching, I assume it's out there somewhere in theory, but I've never known anyone who's won the £1 million prize. And I've been at McDonald's often. And I know lots of other people who have been at McDonald's often as well. But none of us have ever seen it. But it must be out there somewhere. And I wonder if we think like that about false teaching. It's out there somewhere. But it's not going to affect me. And it won't affect our church. 3 weeks ago, Johnny received a letter, an 8-page letter from someone who claims they had a message from God for us and for him. The focus was not on God the Savior taking on flesh to save sinners. It was clear that what was being expressed was man-centered. It was clear that the apostles were not being listened to. Not in some other part of the country, not even in another country, not in some other part of the world, here, 3 weeks ago. We must never think that this is not a danger for us. If John warns us, then it must really be so. And while these tests may help us to recognize false teaching, how can I be certain that I've not been conned, or that I won't be conned in the future? How can I be certain that I won't fall under this trap or under this spell? Well, I can only apply these tests with the help of the Lord Jesus. You see, the message of tonight is not, now I know what to look out for, then, you know, I can rely on my own great wisdom to understand this. The Bible warns me that my heart is deceitful, and I can easily fall under this trap. I need the Lord Jesus to help me, and he helps me in two ways. Number one, he gives me the help of his Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. John writes confidently that real Christians have overcome false teaching, can overcome false teaching, and will overcome false teaching because Jesus lives in them by his Spirit. And Jesus is greater and more powerful than the devil who is in the world. And he loves to deceive us. And he loves to send false teaching for us to trip up on. You know, if you're a Christian here tonight, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, John describes you as from God. We're from God. Because the Lord Jesus lives in us by his Spirit. Our hearts have become his residence. And it is by the Holy Spirit living in us that we are convinced that the Son of God came in flesh to rescue us, and now we submit all of our lives to him. He's the one who helps us to figure out when God the Savior come in flesh to rescue us, and his cross and his resurrection is not central. It's his Spirit who delights to make what is true about Jesus come alive in our hearts. He loves to make what is true about Jesus known to us. It is his Spirit who teaches us what is man-centered and what is Jesus-centered. And it is his Spirit who helps us to listen and to obey the apostles' teaching. We can only examine what is true if the Spirit of truth itself lives in us. None of us can rightly test or examine teaching to see whether it's true or false if we're not Christians. And here's a second thing that helps us, and it's linked. You see, the Holy Spirit inspired God's word. He has given us his word through the apostles. You see, verse 6 again says that the apostles, that's the we there, are from God. Just as Christians are from God, the apostles are from God. And the Spirit helped the apostles to write down God's word so that we would know what is true and what is false. And they have taught us all that we need to know to follow Jesus day by day. We can be 100% certain that their teaching is true. And with the Spirit living in me, I will listen and obey just what they teach. I won't deviate to the left or to the right. I won't find these other things attractive because the Spirit is at work, holding me close to what they have said. As we come to church, does this mean that we should be suspicious of everything that we hear? Should we come with a degree of cynicism, skepticism about everything that is taught? No. But real Christianity will test what it hears. It will not be gullible to think, well, they say they're Christian, so it must be true. It will obey only what is good with the Spirit's help. I've only ever been abseiling once. That was enough. After a long safety instruction, all I remember the guy telling us was, whatever you do, hold on to the rope. He said a whole bunch of other things, but that's what remained clear in my mind. Now, the rope was good. It must have been I'm here today. There are false prophets out in our world who seek to do real damage to us and to our local church. It's only with the Spirit's help that I will be able to test what is being said and hold on to the good rope of the apostles' teaching. What if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian? The Bible would say that you're being deceived by the one who is the prince of this world, the one who is in this world, the devil. His teaching of rebellion against God is powerful and persuasive, and lots of people agree with it. But in the end, the Bible teaches us it will lead to disaster, because the Lord Jesus is coming back, and we're told that he is more powerful than the one who is in the world. He has overcome him at the cross through his death and resurrection, and he will ultimately overcome him by throwing him and casting him into hell, along with all those who continue to follow him. Perhaps for the first time tonight, the Spirit of Truth is speaking to you. It's challenging you to acknowledge that God the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, come in flesh, has come to rescue you. And if you will accept him by faith this evening, then he really will save you. He'll give you the Spirit of Truth in your heart. And he'll help you to hold on to the good teaching of the apostles. I urge you to consider tonight that you would acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our enemy the devil prowls around, waiting to deceive and devour us. We need great wisdom. Wisdom that only you give. Thank you for those of who have taught us the truth in the past and who teach us the truth now. Help us by your Spirit to discern what is right and what is wrong. And help us to hold on to the apostles' teaching and obey only what is good. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.